For the rest of you, if you have your Bibles, may I encourage you to turn to Nehemiah. We've been working through the book of Nehemiah, and we want to carry on doing so. If you also have a bulletin, may I encourage you to open that up and follow that along. We have been working for the last number of Sundays on answering questions about what God has laid upon your heart, how God has been moving in your heart as to what our mission and our vision and our values are. And if you haven't participated with us, may I encourage you to participate today. Today is our last one. We've been having great food. Come, there's always been food for you, and participate in the questions. They haven't been too hard of questions. They haven't been too telling and encroaching upon your space, if you would have it. But I would encourage you to come because the Lord has been moving and laying upon your heart of what he wants this church body to do. I would also encourage you to read the stickies. There are some very common themes coming out of how the Lord has been moving. Now, the biggest difference is not our will, but God's will be done. That is what we've been focusing on even before we got into the book of Nehemiah. We've been asking and seeking God's will. What is it that you would have for us? And God has been putting that out. This morning when I drove up to the church, I came a different way and I noticed on the rock it says, Jesus cares. And it's a powerful statement. It's a true statement. It's a correct statement. The question I have for us, as we are rebuilding, as we are taking a look at the rubble around us and the rubble in our lives and rebuilding the walls that God asks us to rebuild, do we care? Do we really care? Do we care about our neighborhood? Do we care about our neighbors, our friends, those living down the road, down the next farm, the next acreage? Do we care? As we go through this journey, we run into obstacles. We run into challenges in life as God moves us and shapes us. And we left Nehemiah last Sunday facing many oppositions and obstacles related to the rebuilding the wall. And so if you have your Bibles, turn with me to chapter 6 because that's where we're going to be today. In the midst of all these obstacles, in the midst of all the opposition, Nehemiah, he proves himself as a confident leader. And continues to press on with the vision that God has given to him. And we see this in chapter 6. Let's start off with verse 1. When word came to Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies, that I had rebuilt the wall and not a gap was left in it, though up to that time I had not set the doors and the gates. And Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message. Come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of On. But they were scheming to harm me. And so I sent messengers to them with this reply. I am carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? Four times they sent me the same message, and each time I gave them the same answer. Once again, Sanballat is trying his best, trying to figure out how to keep Nehemiah from accomplishing the vision. And we've been on a journey for the last 14 months. God has been moving in our midst. Sometimes we don't see that moving, but there's been lots going on behind the the surface, underneath the surface, behind the doors that you don't see. Things have been happening in people's lives. Things have been happening in the boards, in the polity team. God has been moving. But Satan doesn't like that. And opposition keeps on coming up. Things keep on bouncing. And once again, we see here that Nehemiah puts his trust in God, who gave him the vision in the first place, and he does the right thing. He doesn't get distracted by these messengers or rumors that Sanballat was sending his way. We've been looking at the different building blocks to vision. So we want to pick up the next one. Don't get distracted. Life is full of distractions. Things come at us in different ways. What you see on my arm today is a distraction. Last Sunday, I was a little bit sick, in my opinion. By the end of Sunday, I was really sick. And when I saw the doctor, I had to get some IV for an infection that was going rapidly in my body. Distraction. Things to slow us down. Important things are often sacrificed for urgent things. It was important that I saw the doctor. But I had lots of other things I would like to do better than that. And my stubborn Dutchman got me. Let's take a look at three distractions that Nehemiah faced as we look at these verses. And there are also three distractions that we face when we endeavor to make what could and should be a reality in our personal life and in our church body's life. And they will always be there. The first distraction is opportunities. Opportunities. Every day of our lives, opportunities come along that have potential to distract us from the main things that God has called us to do. God has asked us to do certain things, each one of us individually, but then something along comes along a little bit better that can draw us away. Often they're good things. However, to accomplish the most important things, we must learn to say no to some of those good things. And that is in our personal life as well as in our corporate life as a body. In Nehemiah's case, the opportunity was meeting with Sanballat. I mean, come on, we want to have harmony. We want to have unity. Let's meet. Let's get together. Let's solve this problem. Let's solve this conflict. It turns out that this would not have been a good thing. Nehemiah was not going to sacrifice his time finishing the vision God had given him to attend this meeting. And he responds this way, "I am doing a great work, and I cannot come down at this time. There are some things more important than meeting with you." The next time we're tempted to do something that would distract us from the vision that God has given us, we need to respond like Nehemiah did and keep on working towards the vision. We're going to have that as a corporate body as you move on with the new pastor. There's things that are going to come up, and they're going to be good things, but they're going to distract us from our vision. Distraction number two is criticism. This is not the first time that Nehemiah dealt with criticism on rebuilding the wall. Sanballat had criticized the vision and the workers right from the very beginning. even to the point that one of his buddies said that if a fox walked on the wall, the whole thing would crumble. However, this time, the criticism was a little bit more personal. And Nehemiah prayed and asked God for strength to continue his work. Let God worry about his reputation. And can he continue the vision, carry on the vision that God has put for him? Look at what he did here. Then the fifth time, Sanballat sent his aide to me with the same message. And in his hand was an unsealed letter in which was written, "It is reported among the nations, and Geshem says it's true, that you and the Jews are plotting to revolt, and therefore you are building the wall. Moreover, according to these reports, you are about to become the king, and have even appointed prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem. There is a king in Judah. Now this report will get back to the king, so come, let us confer together." A personal attack. A little bit more personal. Something that could have easily got Nehemiah all worked up, and he probably did, because he's human like you and I. But he gave it to the Lord. Often, when we carry on our vision, when we go through all the stickies, and when we boil it down, and when the team brings it back to you about a vision and a mission that comes from your stickies and the values of what's important, there's going to be some that are going to criticize. There's going to be some that don't agree. There's going to be some that are from other churches that are going to criticize. We need to focus on what God has given us. Let God worry about his reputation. You see, Nehemiah gave it to the Lord. Look at what he replied. "I sent him this reply. Nothing like what you're saying is happening. You're just making it up out of your head." Modern day, get a life, none of it's right. You must be bored. You must have nothing better to do. You're making up stories. He was letting God worry about his reputation. He was letting God work out what God is going to work out. The message for us is, don't waste time focusing on those who may criticize you. Pour out your heart to God, and then let's get back to work. You've been seeing that happening over the last number of months. You've been seeing that with the elders. You've been seeing that with the leadership team. Distraction number three, fear. Shammai tried to convince Nehemiah to run and hide and fear for his life. But just as Nehemiah had not allowed opportunities or criticism or distraction distract him, he did not let fear distract him from his vision. Look at what it says in verse 10. "One day, I went to the house of Shinnim, son of Deliah. He said, 'Let us meet in the house of God inside the temple, and let us close the temple doors, because men are coming to kill you by night, and they're coming to kill you.'" The fear. Look at how Nehemiah says, "But I said, 'Should a man like me run away? Or should one like me go into the temple to save his life? I will not go.' I realized that God had not sent him, but that he had prophesied against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him." These were inside guys. These were inside the Jerusalem circle, the Jewish circle. At some point or another, in our vision, in your vision personally in your life, and in your vision corporately as a body, we will want to run away in fear. We will think about all the what ifs. What ifs? We will be afraid of failing. What will we look like if we don't achieve this? What will happen? May I encourage you, don't let fear distract us. God always has a deeper purpose for the vision that's visible on the surface. We can't achieve the vision that God has, but only through God can we do it. Not in our strength. Only in His. For Nehemiah and the people of Israel, the vision was to rebuild the wall. God's ultimate intention was to reestablish Israel as a light to the nation. So they were physically rebuilding the walls, but God was spiritually rebuilding the people. He's doing the same in our midst today. He's rebuilding the walls. But He's also rebuilding us so that we will be a light. You will be a light to the community. Which brings us to the next building block. There's a divine potential in all you envision to do. Notice the response of Israel's neighbors when the wall was finally completed. We see this in verse 15. And so when the wall was completed on the 25th, in 52 days, when all our enemies heard about this and all the surrounding nations saw it, our enemies lost sight of their self-confidence because they realized that this work has been done with the help of our God. What a powerful thing. People that did not worship God, people that did not know God, they've probably heard about God, but they thought He was a wimpy God because they wiped them out, the Israelites. When the walls got rebuilt, the people realized this was a God thing. And notice who got the credit. It wasn't the people. It wasn't the Israelites rebuilding the wall. It was God. It wasn't Nehemiah and the other builders. They realized that God was behind this. With God's help, Nehemiah and his crew in 52 days did what others said could never be done. And Israel's neighbors were confronted with the power and the presence of Israel's God. As we rise up, as we grab hold of what God has for us, may our neighbors around these physical walls, around our homes, down the road from our acreages and farms, may they see that this is a God thing. This is a God thing. It's not by anybody's human strength. While you're consumed with the details involved in pursuing God's vision in your life, God is up to something that you may not even be aware of. You see, God ultimately draws people to Himself. A lot of times we think nothing's happening. It's hard for me to sit still. I like to be moving and shaking and getting things done. But behind the scenes, God is working. God always reveals Himself in the midst of visions He has authorized. And when He does, attention generally shifts from what has been accomplished to who has filled the accomplishment. Won't it be an exciting time as we are rebuilding the rubble and the walls in our personal life and in our corporate life as a body as the new pastor comes, to be able to worship that God has done this great work, and that the community sees that. The community feels that. Which brings us to the next building block. The end of a God-ordained vision is God. If we're pursuing God in our vision, there will be moments along the way where we're finding ourselves standing in awe of what He has done on our behalf. And in those moments, our attention will be drawn away from the work at hand to the faithfulness of God. In my time here, God has been moving. It hasn't been because we've been outreaching people in the community, because many of us, our blinders are narrow and we're all seeing straight in front of us. But God has been moving. There are people in our midst that God has brought here. People that are searching for Christ. People that need to hear His gospel message. And we're seeing that, of how God is faithful. Sanballat and his people were not the only ones that recognized that God had intervened on behalf of the people of Israel. You see, the people of Israel recognized it too. And I've been encouraging you to read Ezra and Esther and Nehemiah, and I hope that you have. And if you haven't, may I encourage you to do so. Because in chapters 8 and 9, we would see, and you would see, that the people return to the ways that God has instructed them to live. They had gradually gotten away from it. And they returned once again to his commands. And we see the people experience authentic worship. We want to know what authentic worship looks like? Read chapters 8 and 9. Although the people did not realize it, when they were working on the wall, at the end of the vision that God had for him was God himself. It's all about God. As we went through the seven letters, it's all about God. The people went on to develop a written covenant between themselves and God. They pledged their devotion to God and the law. It was so important to them that they did a written covenant, an oath. They realized that if they were going to carry out the vision that God had for Israel, they needed to adhere to some beliefs and behaviors. That brings us to the next building block. Maintaining a vision requires adherence to a set of core beliefs and behaviors. Their values. What is important to us? In the first session, as we got together, I asked you those questions. We all have core beliefs that God has given to us. We must live according to them, even when it's not easy. We must operate within the boundaries of those beliefs as we move forward in the vision that God has given us. As we move forward, real quickly, into chapter 13. Don't worry, I'm going to be coming back and picking up some chapters here. But in chapter 13, we find Nehemiah going back to the king. We don't know exactly how long he was gone before returning back to Jerusalem. But he was gone for a period of time. And we find out in chapter 13 that during the time that Nehemiah is away, many things changed. And the people reverted to many of their sins of previous days. The men were marrying foreign women, which was not allowed. The temple was back in disarray again. And they were no longer respecting the Sabbath. And for Nehemiah, this next building block was a rude awakening. And that is, vision requires constant attention. Unless we're constantly pursuing the vision, things can get off track in a hurry. It's a subtle drift. It's a vision drift. It's like when I go out fishing and I'm sitting in a boat and we don't put the anchor over and it's not really blowing that hard. But all of a sudden, we're not sitting over that favorite fishing hole again. We slowly drifted away from it. And we see that in chapters 13 of Nehemiah. And when he comes back, it's a powerful thing what Nehemiah here does. And the point is this. As their leader, he confronted the problems and he got people back on track. People ask, what is the transition all about? It's about rebuilding. It's about fixing. It's about doing triage when it's required. My point and my encouragement to the elders and to the deacons, but especially the elders, is to lead boldly. But only if our leadership is based and if our actions are carried out against the backdrop defining our beliefs and our behaviors, our mission. You see, maintaining a vision requires bold leadership. It required Nehemiah and the people to be bold. May I encourage you to join with us as we wrap up these questions, participate in the questions, and even if you don't want to participate, at least come for good food and fellowship. But let me ask you these questions as we finish off this morning. Where are you at today? Are you ready to run because the opposition has been hard? Because of fear? Because of the obstacles? Or the opportunities? Where are you today? What has God laid on your heart? Who has God laid on your heart? What is God asking you to do? Because he's asking each and every one of us to do something. Are we listening to his voice? What part are you playing? And my last question this morning is, what part are you going to play? As we go into these questions, we're going to be looking at destiny. What could come in the way? What could get us off track? What part are we going to play? Let me just pray for you. I would like to also do a benediction for you. I will pray and then we're dismissed. May I encourage you to join us for lunch. Let us stand, please. Our dear and Father, we just thank you for who you are. That you are an almighty God. That you see all things and know all things. And that you've been doing a powerful work here. Lord, may your spirit continue to move amongst us today. May we listen to your spirit. May we be sensitive to what you have for us. Lord, may we just delight in who you are. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just pray that this be our prayer as we go out from these doors. May it just move in us as we think about you and worship you throughout the week. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. For one thing I ask of the Lord, and this is what I seek, and Lord, may we seek this, that I may dwell in the house of God, Lord, all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Lord, just pour that upon us. May your spirit move. I just pray and ask things in your name. Amen. You are dismissed, and please join us.